Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So did WikiLeaks prompt a speeded-up attack on Osama bin Laden? The UK's Guardian newspaper reports that a document released by WikiLeaks just last week could have tipped off bin Laden that the U.S. knew where he was. The Guardian suggests that perhaps the U.S. realized bin Laden could read the document and decide to move from the mansion in Abbottabad, so the U.S. had to act right away. Could WikiLeaks have caused that? We will speak now about that and all things WikiLeaks with Mark Stevens, attorney for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. He is here in New York because tonight at the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism, there will be a debate on the role of WikiLeaks in journalism and freedom of information called Life After WikiLeaks, Who Won the Information War? That's 6:30 tonight at the third floor lecture hall at the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism on the main campus there at 116th Street and Broadway. So, Mark Stevens, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
And listeners, anything you always wanted to ask Julian Assange, you can now ask his lawyer, 212-433-WNYC. See, we're a free speech organization, too. 212-433-6692, or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. First on this Guardian report, are you familiar with the document in question?
No, I'm not. I'm one of the things that Julian does is he doesn't share the cables with lawyers. He believes in a direct separation between effectively church and state, between lawyers and editorial. This is an editorial matter. It would have been dealt with by him and the people who work at WikiLeaks.
But reading from The Guardian, so people know more about what we're talking about now that I brought it up, the headline, U.S. may have gotten Osama bin Laden's Abbottabad clue in 2008, WikiLeaks. And it says, buried in a document from 2008 released by WikiLeaks last week are notes from the interrogation of a Libyan, Abu al-Libi, who apparently had been with bin Laden in Afghanistan. According to the document, bin Laden stated that the detainee would be the official messenger between bin Laden and others in Pakistan. In mid-2003, detainee moved his family to Abbottabad and worked between Abbottabad and Peshawar. Libby was captured in Pakistan in 2005, says the newspaper. WikiLeaks released the report last week, prompting speculation that the U.S., afraid that its planned raid might be preempted, brought forward its attack. So I guess my question is, was that document part of the huge collection of State Department cables that WikiLeaks has released some of before? And if so, why was this one just released last week?
Well, I think people have to understand that the trove of documents is massive. It's many hundreds of thousands of documents. Some of those documents are, I'm told, completely unproductive in news value. Some of them are, and of course there's a limit to the amount of stories that can come through. And I think listeners will understand that Abbottabad was not a name that any of us had conjured with until this last few days. And I suspect it didn't have any meaning to any of the media organizations which had access to this pile of documents.
But still, last week, Abbottabad was still in that category. That was before the raid on Osama bin Laden. So why would this have been released just last week?
Well, I can't definitively say why, but it looks as though it was part of the information about Guantanamo, because this guy, Abu Faraj al-Libi, was actually held at Guantanamo Bay. And you'll be familiar that both the New York Times and The Guardian in London have been releasing information about what was going on at Guantanamo Bay and some of the controversies surrounding that, both within the government here. And so I think it probably came out of that.
How involved is Julian Assange himself at this point in making the decision, like when to release that kind of document?
I think that he makes decisions based on where in the world the information is coming out. So at the moment, he's putting a lot of information and a lot of effort, I understand, into putting information out in relation to North Africa and the Gulf, where there have been some pushes for democracy. and also in India, where there's been some problems with the ruling party there apparently holding offshore bank accounts, and that's been caused something of a scandal in India. I think people in the US tend to focus on the US aspects of this, perhaps understandably, but in fact there's an awful lot of information which is coming out, which is he's focused on pushing it out to countries where it will have a maximum impact on those individuals.
Do you care, does he care if releasing a document like that might have jeopardized something like the plan to finally get Osama bin Laden? Is there a set of professional ethics or standards that WikiLeaks set for itself, as traditional news organizations would, about when to release or when to withhold information?
Oh, yes, Brian. I mean, I think one of the things that people don't know and don't recognize is that before all this began, before any material was published, Assange wrote to the U.S. authorities and said, if there is anything which will endanger an ongoing operation, and of course that would fall into this category, or if there's any danger to life or any of those things, let me know and I will redact them. And indeed, that was the touchstone which all the media, the traditional media partners took as well. So the New York Times, who we know had undertaken some very close negotiations, quite properly in my view, with the Pentagon, because obviously nobody wants to jeopardize that. We have a slightly different system in the United Kingdom. It's called the Defense Advisory System, and there members of the security services, spies, sit down with journalists and determine what should and shouldn't be published. It's an informal form of self-censorship by the press. But they have anyone goes online and Googles up defense advisory, you'll be able to see it. It's transparent to that degree. And they have five notices. And it's all about not putting people's lives in danger, not giving information about nuclear, terrorism things, ongoing operations by security services.
And I gather there's a learning curve with respect to WikiLeaks, because some of the earlier releases before this huge trove of State Department cables was perhaps more indiscriminate, will you accept that word, and may have in fact put people's lives in danger, and you decided you didn't want to do that anymore.
Well, it's not me. It's WikiLeaks. They are a client. But it's the difference is that it's not about wanting to put anyone's life in danger. Julian has never sought to put anybody's life in danger. I think you're right. There is a learning curve there. And I know in relation to the Afghan war logs, for example, traditional media have asked Secretary of State for Defense, the Pentagon media spokesman, both of whom have said nobody's life was put in danger by the release of those. They were put forward in a far less redacted form than the cables were. But of course, the cables have had far more reporting on a traditional form of reporting, both verification, contextualization, comment from people involved, and so on and so forth.
Mark Stevens, the attorney for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, my guest on WNYC. 212-433-WNYC. We'll get to some phone calls in a couple of minutes. 212-433-9692. As I said before, anything you always wanted to ask Julian Assange, you can now ask his attorney. 212-433-9692. But I think the conversation we were just having goes to the larger question surrounding WikiLeaks of what business it's in. You'll probably say the publishing business. Critics say they're in the business of trying to harm the United States, and that Julian Assange has made enough explicit statements to back that up. And I want to play a clip of Assange interviewed by Time magazine. This is a little under a minute, and listeners, bear with this. This has a webby quality that's not perfect sound. But he refers to the United States as abusive, and listen to what he says his agenda is.
Since 2006, we have been working along this philosophy that organizations which are abusive and need to be scared of the public eye, if their behavior is revealed to the public, they have one of two choices. One is to reform in such a way that they can be proud of their endeavors and proud to display them to the public. Or the other is to lock down internally and to balkanize internally, and as a result, of course, cease to be as efficient as they were. And to me, that is a very good outcome, because organizations can either be efficient, open, and honest, or they can be closed, conspiratorial, and inefficient.
Julian Assange, interviewed last year by Time magazine, his attorney, Mark Stevens. So he's really saying he's out to get the United States as an abusive empire to either reform or be harmed by his leaks and become less efficient. I don't think the publisher of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Nation would put their mission in those terms.
Yeah, I don't know that put it in that term. I'm not here as an apologist for Assange, but I think what he would say is that he is part of the Third Estate. He is part of the watchdog function of the democratic society. And we have seen an exponential increase in the amount of classification of documents over the last few years. And part of the release of that information is that, provided that they don't harm life, for example, then in those circumstances that transparency is a good thing. And I think, you know, we only have to look at traditional media who publish documents which are marked secret and classified. And they use the same sort of touchstones that have been used by Assange. And interestingly, as you will imagine, Brian, I've had visits from a number of security services. And I think that one understands why people in America think he's anti-American. I don't think he is. I think he is in favor of openness and transparency insofar as that is possible. For example, the FSB, the Russian security services, came to see me because they thought he was a CIA spy. Now, that most people would think that's faintly ludicrous, but the Russians were deadly serious about this. And it was only after that they became convinced that he wasn't a CIA spy or a Russian American spy that they've put him up for a Nobel Peace Prize.
They nominated him for a Nobel Peace Prize. Well, in fact, after this
big... I think they were being mischievous.
I guess. After this State Department cache was first released, the parts of it that have come out, a lot of people said if Julian Assange was out to discredit the United States, he did just the opposite, because Secretary of State Clinton and a lot of the U.S. diplomats who were cabling back and forth with Washington looked like the grown-ups in the room trying to manage affairs in a responsible way in Russia, in the Arab world, in Asia, in Africa, China. And I wonder if you've ever had a conversation with Mr. Assange as to whether he feels that the release backfired because the stature of the United States may actually have been heightened.
No, I mean, I think many people have commented that it does seem that in relation to most of the cables, we are getting our assessments pretty much right in terms of the diplomatic game. And I was talking to the brother of King Hassan of Jordan, and he was saying to me, he's in charge of diplomacy for that particular country. And he said, look, in the great game of diplomacy, we all know what we think about one another. Even our friends, we know what. We're very realistic about it. He said, the only people who don't know those things are the general public. And I think Assange would say, well, in those circumstances, I think the general public should know those things, and it doesn't do any harm to do it. And of course, when the cables were about to come out, we were told by successive statements that the world would fall in and that would be a terrible affair. And really, not much has happened, has come to pass in that way. The United States had to recall its ambassador to Libya because Colonel Gaddafi didn't like what was written about him by the ambassador. But by and large, that wasn't a world-ending thing. It was probably going to happen anyway.
And I think to the point of what is released and why, Joe in Newark has a question. Hi, Joe. You're on WNYC with Julian Assange's attorney, Mark Stevens. Hello.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Sure.
My question is this. The fact that the assertion that's being put forth by Mr. Assange's lawyer here is that, well, you know, everyone was worried about negative consequences of these things being released, and look, really nothing negative has come about. And that's really got nothing to do with it. If something is wrong, it's wrong. Just because nothing negative happens from a wrong action doesn't mean that action is now okay. as far as freedom of information goes, had someone filed their Freedom of Information Act request under the law to receive these documents from this person's, from this private's computer in the Army where he stole these documents from, that request rightfully would have been denied. It would have been denied because these aren't public information documents. These are not things that are have to be out in the public domain. This gentleman stole these documents that he was that he wasn't supposed to take and gave them over to WikiLeaks. And now someone outside of the government, he's making decisions about what he thinks should be released. And who is he to make determinations about national security issues for the United States should be released to the general public? Who is he to dictate to the United States government, hey, by the way, I'm going to be releasing this in a few weeks. That's probably got some information about where Osama bin Laden is hiding. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up that I'm going to go ahead and divulge his information.
Joe, thank you very much. Let's get a response.
Well, I think Joe is advocating views which are, I know, widely held. But I think that what Assange is doing is no different to what journalists have done for years, whether it's the Pentagon Papers or whether it's Bernstein and Woodward. Journalists have obtained material which is classified and they have published it. And the Supreme Court of the United States has said if journalists come across material and publish it, then in those circumstances they are protected by the First Amendment. And I think rightly so, because part of what's coming out is the assumption, I think, that Joe makes. I think it's a false assumption, which is that because no harm has occurred, there's no problem with that. But the reality is we have become aware of things which actually we should have been aware of all along. So we now know about the torture at Guantanamo Bay, which we wouldn't otherwise have known about, and it gives verisimilitude to the stories that we're hearing from there. We know that the United States has, in breach of its most solemn covenant given to protect the United Nations, spied upon the United Nations. I mean, the whole reason that the United Nations headquarters is placed here in New York is because it was thought that another country couldn't be trusted to protect it. The Americans were charged with protecting it. And it's the fact that it is a peace-loving organization that nobody spies upon it. That's the covenant that we all have as an international community. So we have found that there have been things done which are wrong. And those things have come out through the release of the cables. And that is part of the job of the media. That is part of the media holding the government to account.
Jeff in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Mark Stevens.
Yeah, hi. I have a question for Mr. Assange's attorney. I know Mr. Assange has expressed repeatedly his fears of being extradited to Sweden because he thinks that he'll be immediately extradited to the United States. And I'm just curious, given the fact that Sweden is not part of NATO and it's has a history of being neutral, whereas Britain is part of NATO and has the so-called special relationship with the United States and works very closely with the U.S. on intelligence and military issues, why would it be easier for Mr. Assange to be extradited from Sweden than from Britain? Are there laws in place that would make his extradition much more difficult from Britain than from Sweden?
Jeff, thank you for the question, and I should probably remind people that Julian Assange is facing sex-related charges in Sweden. And is it accurate to say the United States is conducting a criminal investigation into him and into WikiLeaks pertaining to the release of information and how it came about?
Nobody knows whether there is an investigation ongoing, because of course it would be secret in this country. Certainly it's believed that there is one undertaken in relation to Bradley Manning, but nobody has yet notified Assange, as far as I'm aware, that he is the subject of a formal investigation.
Bradley Manning being the alleged leaker,
yes,
WikiLeaks as an asserted news organization, the recipient of the leaks in a different legal category.
Yeah, that's the assumption. Of course, Julian says to me that I didn't know about the name Manning until it came up in the press. So I have no knowledge of whether it's him or not. So
The extradition question?
On the extradition question, which I think Jeff raises a very perceptive question, the answer is it's quite a close legal call. There are laws in place between the UK and the US which make the passing of people between the two countries much easier than it used to be. And we've seen that recently with people accused of crimes coming over to the United States to be held account. But similarly, there are very good relations between Sweden and the United States. Indeed, in Sweden, we have to remember that it was one of the bases used by the United States to spy on the old Soviet bloc during the Cold War.
What would the charge be that you're afraid that the United States could potentially bring? It can't be treason, as it is against Bradley Manning, because Julian Assange isn't a U.S. citizen. And my understanding is that WikiLeaks was set up as a stateless organization specifically to avoid charges like that from any government.
Yeah.
So what charge do you fear?
Well, I think that the answer to that is I don't think Assange has actually broken the law. And so as a result, I personally think that there's no charge that can be properly preferred against him. That doesn't mean that someone won't try, but it does mean that I don't think that there's a proper offense there.
Right, which role as his lawyer to say. But what charge do you fear they may bring?
Well, I'm saying I don't think that there is a proper charge that you could bring against Assange. I mean, he has behaved in just the same way as you know, the author of the Pentagon Papers, for example. And I think that makes it clear that what he's done is protected under U.S. law. But there is a separate question, which is why are we resisting the extradition to Sweden? And the answer to that is that under the European arrest warrant scheme, there is an assumption that the legal scheme in Sweden is compliant with international human rights norms, and in what we have discovered is that it's not, and indeed the British judge has said it is not. And the question comes down to a fairly stark one. Is it appropriate to send people to countries which don't comply with human rights norms, or do we require them to give undertakings and to comply with international human rights norms? For example, we would never send someone from the UK to the United States who was in jeopardy of the death penalty, because that would be a breach of their human rights. So it is that if Assange is extradited to Sweden, that he would be the subject of a secret trial if one were to take place. So that idea of having a secret trial is an anathema to the British and the American system of open justice. And that's part and parcel of one of the reasons we're objecting.
We have 2 minutes left. Let me get a quick question and a quick answer from George in Brooklyn. Comes the question. George, you're on WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. The film that was released by WikiLeaks early on, sometime last year, showing an American helicopter supposedly shooting unarmed civilians in Iraq, that was shown later to be edited. Is Mr. Assange the person who edited that? And by the way, how much secrecy does does your guest want to have when he speaks with his client? I'll take it off the air.
Thank you for your call. On that tape, if WikiLeaks is supposed to be the funnel by which raw material gets out, was that an edited tape?
There are two versions. There's the unedited and there's the edited. The one that most television companies showed was the edited one. It was edited
by WikiLeaks?
I understand it was edited by WikiLeaks and a member of parliament from Iceland.
Is that consistent with WikiLeaks' purported standards?
Yes, it is, because what they want to do is to convey what they believe to be the truth. And the truth in that particular situation appears to be that Reuters journalists were shot by American forces. Now, you know, you can have an argument about whether there was a mistake or what happened, but that was the fact, and that was what they sought to get out there.
But why edited? Because the critics will say edited in such a way that made it look more like an intentional assault on unarmed journalists, rather than a mistake in a murky firefight situation.
Well, that wasn't what the situation was. You had,
or not firefight, but that might have been weapons.
No, I think it's not edited in that way. I mean, I would suggest that anyone who's interested in this actually goes and looks at the material, and I would say compare the edited version, which is the short one used by the media, and the longer one, which you can get from WikiLeaks, and look at the two. And I think they both tell you the truth, which is ultimately two human beings, journalists, died as a result of fire.
And last thing, another new WikiLeaks release. We have this today, the British Telegraph saying new WikiLeaks disclosures offer evidence that Pakistani authorities knew where bin Laden was and tipped bin Laden off whenever U.S. intelligence came close to finding out as well. The Telegraph says, according to a U.S. diplomatic dispatch that they obtained from WikiLeaks, General Abdullah Sadulovich Nazarov, a senior Tajik counterterrorism official, told the Americans that many inside Pakistan knew where bin Laden was. The document stated, quote, "In Pakistan, Osama bin Laden wasn't an invisible man, and many knew his whereabouts in North Waziristan. But wherever security forces attempted a raid on his hideouts, the enemy received warning of their approach from sources in the security forces," unquote. Are you familiar with that document?
I'm not familiar with the actual document, but I've seen the Daily Telegraph report. And, of course, the Daily Telegraph is one of our papers of record in the UK, the sort of equivalent of the Washington Post, perhaps. And it is, I think, raising pretty fundamental questions that I think all of us want answered about the position of Pakistan. Pakistan is in receipt of huge billions of pounds from this country, and we want to know, why is it being spent? How is it being spent? And is it being spent in the right kind of way? Because if the Pakistanis have been entering into a covenant to protect Osama bin Laden so they don't get attacked, I think we should know.
Mark Stevens, attorney for Julian Assange, will be part of a panel tonight, Life After WikiLeaks, Who Won the Information War? A panel debate that includes Richard Cohen, the Washington Post columnist, who you may know, and others, tonight at 6:30 at the Graduate School of Journalism on the main Columbia University campus. Mark Stevens, thank you so much for making a detour downtown.
Absolute pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we change directions and talk to the SUNY Chancellor, Nancy Zimpher, on her and Governor Cuomo's plan to allow different campuses to set different tuition rates. Stay with us.